Time now for Minnesota Reads here on 103.3 KUMD. And we are so happy to have on the line this morning Mary Casanova. Her new book, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, is one that you'll say, well, it's important for the kids to have picture books, and I'll have to get a copy so that the kids can have picture books, and then you won't let them mess it up or color on it or scribble on it or rip it to pieces because it's absolutely gorgeous. Mary Casanova, our guest on the line this morning here. Hey, Mary, good morning.
Good morning, Lisa. I love your comments because I have to say, as I sit with this book in my lap, I am still savoring this new illustrator's work of Nick Robleski. It really is exquisite.
Woodcuts illustrate this book. It's absolutely gorgeous. And I'm always fascinated with the what I've learned through Minnesota Reads is that when you write a book and someone is going to illustrate it for you, you send the book off through channels to the illustrator, and then you as the author have to sit on your hands and wait quietly to see what comes back.
Exactly.
You don't get to tell the illustrator what to do. It becomes the illustrator's book from there.
It's true. In fact, most of the time, illustrators and authors never even meet. However, I seem to break the rules very often, and this is one area where I have broken the rules as well. A lot of listeners may know one of my earlier books, One Dog Canoe, and that illustrator and I, Art Hoyt, have met many times and have spoken together, and so we've formed more of a collaboration in our work through a number of picture books we've done. And this one, similarly with Nick Robleski, he is a fine artist in his own right, but the first time this will be his first illustrated picture book. We hadn't met. He lives in Wisconsin. My editor approached him about doing this manuscript into a picture book. And then Nick and I ended up talking on the phone, and he was kind of wondering what kind of terrain exactly I was picturing for this story. And I said, hey, why don't you just come on up to Rainy Lake? And if you want to see this area, it's what I have in mind, but you're the illustrator. You get to choose how you want to illustrate it. Anyway, we went out very early one morning before dawn in my little runabout and went out on Rainy Lake as the sun was not even up yet and just watched the lake come alive. And that's where he took tons of photographs and really was inspired by the North Woods.
So you had the opportunity, because you're a renegade, to actually share your vision with the illustrator. And it sounds like the illustrator in this instance was open to that and actually kind of sought that out.
Yes. Had he not been open to any conversation, that I would have been respectful of that. And I really am respectful of his work, his interpretation of my words. Because I'm a writer that needs to ground my work and my words in setting so much, and I always spend time on location for whatever I write, whether it's picture books or novels, I just thought maybe he would enjoy being exposed to the North Woods, and I think it definitely inspired and informed his artwork.
Well, how does that work then when you are a writer in particular, obviously, of picture books? The rest of the time, if you are grounded in a place, if you're writing a book that is not a picture book, you can bring that setting to life by yourself. But if you decide, I'm going to do a picture book, do you have to say to yourself, deliberately, I have to unhook from visual specifics, because it's going to be up to the illustrator to do what they want to do?
Absolutely. You said it just so. There's times when I have to make myself pull words out of my manuscript and let the illustrator do his or her work with their artwork. And that's where it truly becomes that collaboration, and not tell them exactly what it's going to look like. I'm just thinking of one page here. It's maple syrup, berry pancakes, quickly, run outside. Well, that, I didn't tell the illustrator what to do in that picture, and he has chosen to have a toddler going out the door, leaving behind on a plate with a little pitcher of syrup nearby. There's blueberry pancakes, and in the distance that the child is running toward is indeed a shoreline that beckons, with pine trees in the background. But I didn't say all of that. That's what you should do. Just absolutely left that to the illustrator's vision. And that's what makes picture books really fun. I mean, it's truly a collaboration, and it's like it's this creating something together. And so often, and as the novelist in me, I'm writing completely alone, and in this case, it is birthing something together.
And yet what's interesting about the idea of collaboration, as I mentioned, is this tradition, maybe that's not the right word, expectation, kind of unspoken rule that you and the illustrator are not going to, let's say, cross-pollinate one another, cross-contaminate one another, that you're not going to, you know, that once you're done, you hand this off. And so that is kind of a weird collaboration when you can't, when generally, usually, you don't communicate. You're not allowed to communicate, or
exactly,
it's not the thing to do.
Yeah, and it's hard for me to imagine that. I definitely like to have face-to-face meetings with anybody I work closely with eventually, but it is true that that's how it works in the field, and I'm glad that I've been able to break some of those rules. It makes it a richer experience. I think the reasoning behind that is that an editor who works with an illustrator and an author, they don't want the author to tell the illustrator what to do. And as authors, we often have very strong opinions about our vision for our work. And I think that it's sort of like a real estate agent keeping a buyer and a seller apart and not trying not to screw up the deal. I think it's a little bit like that. And I'm just glad that I've gotten to know the illustrators as well as I have and been able to work more closely, but again, respectfully.
Mary, do you think that if you became an author who was known, and your literary agent people, the people who handle these deals, if it was part of the deal where the agent would go to the illustrator and say, you don't have to do this, but Mary's offering you an all-expense-paid weekend at Rainy Lake, and there will be blueberry pancakes, that could perhaps open up that collaborative thing? I mean, I would work with somebody if they offered me pancakes.
That's one way to look at it. I mean, I could just rely on Minnesota niceness. So far, that's worked pretty well. But I like the bribery. That could work, too.
Excellent. Mary, the book is exquisite. Thank you so very, very much for joining us this morning. I really appreciate it. And thanks again for sharing this wonderful book with us. It's not released yet. It's due to be released this spring. Is that correct?
March 1st.
March 1st. It's almost spring.
I know.
Yay.
Isn't that great?
The book is called Wake Up Island. We talked this morning with its author, Mary Casanova. Mary, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Lisa. Have a great day.
Mary Casanova, the author of Wake Up Island, Woodcuts, illustrating this exquisite picture book by Nick Robleski. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.